Hey, America!
Start listening now!
Oh, are you ready for the big game, Sam?
Which big game would this be? I mean, I've been watching, you know, the US v Korea curling over on the Olympics. That's been my jam.
Not that one.
Is it the hockey?
The big game.
The big game?
Mm-hmm.
How big are we talking here?
Game. It's real big.
So big is it?
No, it's you would say it's super. I don't know. Roll it. And welcome to another super but legally distinct episode of 12 Points from America. It's a Eurovision podcast, everyone. And that's what we're going to talk about, and not the big game, unless we do. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Liz.
Welcome back, everybody. It's good to be back. There are a few things that have happened. We're going to go through those quickly, I think, because we have a much more interesting thing to do once we've done that. So let me point out one thing that I've been wanting to say since I saw the preview of the Cyprus song, which is, does Cyprus have more than one hotel?
I would imagine so, but they may only be allowed to record in one.
I see. Because, yeah, so the thing, the video dropped for, what is it called again?
Jala.
Hi. Yeah, and my immediate thought was like, this is the same video from Liar. Like, this is 100% the exact same spot. They just went to this hotel again. And I thought that was kind of wild.
I for sure thought when you asked, do they have more than one hotel there? You listened to the song and thought, well, that's the winner. We all got to go to Cyprus.
Oh, no. That is not at all what I'm saying.
We only have one place to record music videos in this country. Mm-hmm. And it is that hotel specifically.
You'd think they'd have beaches or something, but no, it's just the one hotel.
I mean, like, to be fair, the rest of the video, it seems to take place in some lovely little village and there are oranges and classic cars everywhere. Like,
that's true.
Yeah, I mean, I still want to go to Cyprus. Don't get me wrong, yeah. But I think we're legally obligated to go to that same hotel.
Oh yeah, do the dance and all that.
Oh yeah,
that'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
I also want to point out, I was like, what does Jala mean? So I googled it, and that's always an adventurous thing, right? Wiktionary notes that it has a few meanings. It can mean it's derived from Arabic actually. In at least one context, it means like let's go. Or here's hoping, like that, things like that. And then when the Finns and Swedes were stationed in the Middle East in the 70s, they picked it up, and now it's a very popular thing there. I don't know how it got to Cyprus, if it means something else. I will note, in addition to that, though, that maybe this is what they mean. Wiktionary also says it is a slang term for diarrhea.
Thanks, hon. Thanks for that.
Enjoy your song, everyone.
Thanks, you've ruined it.
We're just getting started.
Oh dear.
I'm
oh
excited.
Dear.
Yeah.
We did get some other songs though in the last
couple
days. We've landed at Vidbeer yesterday, as we're recording. And we've got Laleka with Rydnim, I believe, if I'm not totally butchering that. But it was a nice I got to see some of the performances, most of them. Didn't watch the full show, but really strong. And Ukraine usually is, but nice strong round of candidates this year. So people I'm looking forward to seeing again in future years, and some familiar names and faces.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure if we can say that Laleka was a surprise winner at Vidbeer this year, just because, you know, a lot of people were looking at Jerry Heil. A lot of people were looking at Monocade. I know that we were looking at the Elians with the potential upgrade for Olena Usenko from junior to senior. But yeah, it looks like Laleka took it with maximum scores from both the jury and the public. So more power to her. Congratulations.
This once again proves my current theory that the key is to sing really high. That's what Eurovision's about now.
How high can you sing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll see how that progresses.
Yep. In other news, it looks like the Bulgarians have selected their singer. It's Dara Yotova is her full name. Song to be determined. That's going to be a separate show. I think they're going to have three songs that are going to be presented to Dara, and the Bulgarian public will select. Interestingly enough, Dara has a backstory that we've almost seen before. She was the third place finisher at The Voice of Bulgaria back in, I want to say, 2015 or 2016. Coming in second that year, Chris Kostov.
Was our buddy.
Aw.
Yeah.
So hang on a second. Wait. Who won then?
I believe her name is Christina Luizu.
Okay.
And like, I have not seen her at a Bulgarian national final yet, but who knows?
That person must be very good at doing singing, I think.
Very possible. But yeah. Dara is a big name in the Bulgarian music scene, as basically everybody was in that national final. I think to be even considered for the Bulgarian final this year, you had to be within the top 40 most played artists on Bulgarian national radio over the last year. Like, they really wanted to make sure that their artist was indicative of the Bulgarian pop music scene. Like, so
you sorry to interrupt, but just to be clear, that was a straight up requirement.
I believe that in order to be eligible for it, they had to be one of the biggest hit makers on Bulgarian radio over the last year. Supposedly, Polygenova wanted to take part, but she hasn't had a radio release recent enough.
Well, she hangs out with Kirkorov, so.
Polly?
Yeah. Anyway.
Let's move on.
So you have to be Bulgarian Katy Perry or higher, basically.
Approximately,
thereabouts. Okay, cool.
Yeah. All right. We were hoping to have a Czech name by now. They had said, we'll give you the name by the end of January. That has come and gone. However, the Czech delegation has, they have come out and said, we know you're waiting for us. We'll give that to you soon. The information's just about there. But they did say that it is a male artist. They did use him when they were referring to the artist. So that's a little bit of a clue, I suppose. And hopefully we'll find out soon.
What if it's Albert?
Oh, you can only hope.
Lucy guy.
Yeah, Albert Czerny.
That Czerny, that's right. That would be cool.
Yeah, from Lake Malawi.
Yes.
Anyway. In the immediate future, we've got a couple of national finals coming up. On Valentine's Day, the 14th of February, we've got Eesti Laul in Estonia. We've got Supernova over in Latvia. The Danish Melody Grand Prix, obviously in Denmark. And Benidorm Fest, which is selecting a song, even though Spain is not sending a song to Eurovision this year, but they're still having their national final. Some great acts in that lineup as well. The following day, we will have Dora in Croatia, as well as the Greek national final. So it'll be on Sunday the 15th. It is. And not long after that, Vienna calling for Austria. So, the long, arduous commute from Austria to Austria will be on the 20th. So, yeah.
Can I confess something?
Please.
There is a Swedish song I liked.
Oh dear. Are you feeling well?
Yeah, it's fine. And on this, it was all staging. It's not super far out of the Swedish ecosystem sort of a thing, but it was called My System. It was one of the auto qualifiers this past weekend. Goes into a bit more of an EDM thing, takes some twists and turns that some of the Swedish songs don't normally do, which is kind of refreshing. But oh my God, the staging, it's captivating. It's not super fancy or anything. It's just cool. But I'm frustrated because we're hipsters or whatever. We're not supposed to like the Sweden stuff, I guess. I don't know.
Or something.
But I like this one. I'm sorry. Give this one a look.
You liked Marcus and Flarkus.
I like Marcus and Flarkus a lot.
But they were Norwegian, which is okay.
That's true. That's because they're Norwegian, obviously. not any other reason. Anyway, let's see what else we got. So the other less cool international competition is underway now. The not Panarctic Vision, the Olympics. And there's already been Eurovision stuff at the Olympics, including one of my favorite Italian singers, Mariah Carey.
What singing was she Volare. Doing there? Why?
I was very frustrated, but at the end of the day, I was like, I feel like if you can get Mariah, you have to do it.
I mean, I guess they brought in Celine Dion and Lady Gaga for Paris's opening ceremony. See, I mean, Mariah probably just raised her hand and go, hey, me too.
Yeah. But Christmas is over, so I have nothing to do.
Italy, truly the place for divas.
True. I cannot argue with that.
Yeah.
Yep.
But Diodato, can you imagine? Like you remember the empty stadium fire amore? That there's still a closing ceremony. Who knows? He'll win the gold medal in singing at the end, hopefully.
Works for me.
But yeah, we had some other stuff happen too, though.
Yeah, Laura Pausini, who we all know and always. Love, was featured at the opening ceremony, as well as Gali, who was a Sanremo finalist as well. Volare, of course, has been freaking everywhere. It's like the interstitial music that they'll play in between figure skaters. It's everywhere. And I was watching the short form men's figure skating, and it looked like the skater who was representing China at the team program was skating to Fought and Lost by Sam Ryder.
Hey.
Wow. I clocked that immediately. I'm like, I know that angelic voice. Like, I've watched Ted Lasso. I get this.
Aww.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it's been a nicely tangentially Eurovision friendly Olympics so far. We're only a couple days in. So
I couldn't help but notice how much we just watched a little bit of the opening ceremony so far, but just the very postcardy beginning of Eurovision panoramas that were shown at the beginning of the opening ceremony. So I was like, this is just like a Eurovision opening. Same bucket of stuff. It's cool. I like it.
Events like the Olympics and like Eurovision, it's not just the competition and the celebration of sport, but it's a way for a host city and a host nation to just market the hell out of themselves.
It's like, hey, everybody. How much RTE's had a hand in that broadcast. I'd be curious.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the IOC like cooperates with public local broadcasters the way that.
And I said RTE, I meant RAI, is what I meant.
I figured.
Oh. I don't know.
My brain's stuck in Ireland. Yeah.
Oops. You know, well. My brain puts Ireland in the strangest places, too. I get it.
It's right. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Are we ready to dive into our main topic today? And
yes, please.
A guest who I have to say, folks who've been listening to the show know that I've been attending the contest in person since 2011. And I've met some amazing people, some really, really cool people. And I would have to say that one of the artists in particular that I've kept in closest contact with and closest touch with, I met in my second contest. I had started off as a fan of this person's band, and we've ended up keeping in touch over the years. And it's well past due to bring him onto the show, especially considering the journey that he and his band, his brother particularly, have been on since Baku. I want to introduce you all, or reintroduce some of you, to Damon Karayakin, lead singer of Light Sound, who represented Belarus in Baku in 2012. Damon, welcome to 12 Points. We're so happy to have you.
Hello, everybody. Very happy being here, and I'm so excited about all that.
It is so fabulous to have you on here. Why don't we kind of start from the beginning? Like I mentioned, you know, you and your brother, Vova, have been the heart of this band Light Sound for years, like well before 2012. Can you tell me a little bit about the genesis of the band and what your journey has been, like the early days of the band?
Yeah, absolutely, because we have a very long story. I hardly believe that it's been almost more than 20 years. Oh my gosh, because the band started in 2005. It's the year that we basically created the band. And we started in China, actually. We were living with our parents, with my brother's parents in the city Qinzhou, the Henan province. It's the place that we decided on that we wanted to continue on with music, because that's where we met our first fans. That's the place where we written our first songs. And it's been 3 years. That's been very rough because we haven't had opportunities to communicate with our friends. So we were basically like ripped off from the society that we grew as teenagers, and our parents moved there and my father worked there. And and the guitar and performances was only the way to express ourselves, to contemplate, to move forward, to forget about this ordeal, because when you're a teenager and you feel like there is not a lot of people that you can communicate, which was absolutely essential and the most important thing they could. So we had no other choice, just to grab a guitar and write as many songs as we could.
And
that was amazing.
Yeah. And that kind of sense of independence, especially, it's, you know, you've had other members of the band kind of come and go over the years, but it's always at least been you and Vova.
Yeah, us too. Yes, and, absolutely. So we started there, and we met a lot of very nice people, not only Chinese, but we had numerous American friends, and that's how we got to America first. So we went to MOVA, some writers competition in Alabama in 2002. So that was an incredible experience, and we were very young. We were not very experienced songwriters or singers, but that's where we started. And in 2005, we formed a band, and we named Light Sound, and we had our first show, and we realized that that's something that we want to do for as many years as we just could. And that was the first success. And essentially, this year, 2006, that's the year that we'd taken part in the pre-selection in Eurovision. So we started as the Eurovision band, and that was our destiny. So there was a fantastic opportunity to express ourselves from the stage, and the biggest stage right away. So we were not like, we just jumped from being a garage band right into a very competing among very experienced guys, and we had sixth place among 15 or 16. So that was a huge success for 18 years old boys, and we appreciated that.
Why was it so important for you and for the band to give Eurovision a shot?
I can tell you honestly, at first we were Eurovision fans since 2003. We returned in 2004, 2003 to Belarus, and we started being huge Eurovision fans, because back in the days, that was absolutely fabulous. We watched, we followed, and we were imagining ourselves being on that stage. So that was something that we really wanted, and we were so happy that after all these years, our dream came true. But yeah. We're getting ahead of ourselves, right? So we're talking about the reason for selection. So, and after we formed our band, and that seemed to us the quickest, like the shortcut to a big stage, is the place that we can enjoy bigger crowds right away without making a very long way, trying to get some attention. And that was the fastest way of doing it.
Because there are other festivals within the Belarus region, as well as, you know, the former, Eastern Europe, you know, Slavyansky Bazaar, New Wave, things like that. But Eurovision was always sort of the big crowning goal.
For sure.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we haven't had a chance to get to Slavyansky Bazaar or all other places that were also cool, but not as big, of course, as Eurovision. But there are a lot of people who prevent us from going there. They were like blocking our way to the top. So there were a lot of problems along the way. But Eurovision turned out to be the quickest and turned out to be the most successful for us specifically, even though Eurovision itself wasn't really. But again, we're ahead of ourselves.
and it should be noted that you also are doing this. You're not necessarily on a major record label. You write all of your own music. You produce everything in-house. It's all truly independent. So did you feel that other acts that you were going up against in national finals were also coming in with that same sort of independence? Or was it sort of a David versus Goliath kind of a thing? What was your experience with that like?
At first, I have to mention that Belarus is pretty small, so we didn't have any sort of major labels or something in Belarus, especially back at that days, because right now there are a lot of very big acts from Belarus that are famous around the world, in America, everywhere. Like there are numerous artists that made it because internet took place, and they handled that, and they managed to do it independently. But we don't have any artists signed with Sony or I don't know, like BMI, BMG, I don't remember, but we didn't have that. Most of the artists that we were competing with, they were a lot more experienced, and that was hard because obviously they already had their fan bases voting for them, but we didn't expect us to go far in that voting. So but it turned out very, very good for us, successful, and from the very first year.
So, Damon, Sam has told us a lot of kind of interesting and varied stories about being in Baku, and how the arena was, you know, the paint was still drying, and there was a lot of control over where people went and things like that. How was that experience for you?
That was absolutely fascinating because there's the first show that, and I don't remember that I ever seen any kind of those big shows that had so much responsibility from the crew and from all the artists, because that's all live. We all know that it's very, very, you can easily get very anxious there. So self-control is so important, especially when you go in that line towards the stage and you go closer and closer. You cannot get anywhere. You cannot like sit and relax. You just wait for your order. And that was so, there was a lot of pressure.
One of the things I remember most about your performance in Baku was the microphone stands that were very unique and cool looking. I'm curious if there's a story behind those and if you still have them.
No.
Ah.
those things were only, somebody made them for us. I don't remember the designer, but it was part of our show and part of our costumes. They're very good thing. But I guess that these microphone stands were inspired by what would the name of that band, probably System of a Down. Korn. That's the name.
That guy has a very unique microphone stand.
Yeah. So our other producers really want our acts to look like a real rock band, you know, with some sort of an alien, like medieval kind of glamour and backstory. I honestly wasn't very I didn't really like that. It's just my personal opinion. So we started this contradiction and this divisions right from the beginning of the iterations for making the show, making the song. We had a lot of argument, so that was really hard for the band and for everyone.
Yeah, that was going to be something I was going to ask you about, because the original version of We Are the Heroes, your song for Baku, had more of a rock edge, it was a very different production and a very different arrangement and kind of different vibe. Mm-hmm. But then there was this revamp that was a bit more electronic, a bit more pop. And then also this image change, that it seemed like that wasn't necessarily the way that you guys as the band would have done it.
Absolutely.
What if you had been given 100% full license and your artistic vision, what would you have done?
We would certainly go with our first version. That's why I'm saying that it's a big privilege of being an independent artist who is like capable of expressing himself the way he wants, the way the band wants. And that was a big mistake that the producers decided on changing the arrangement in a way that we felt that we betrayed our fans. A lot of people were so concerned about not being rooting for the band that they actually voted in the final in Belarus. And they were so upset. And it was totally, everyone thought it was totally rigged, you know, like staged. It was not possible that the band went from that version to another one that was completely, I don't know, out of place. It was off. There was something that the song lost like 90% of its charm, even though I still loved it. And I was very excited being in Eurovision with that version. But after the years, looking back, I realized that it was terrible. And I remember that I was apologizing for, in behalf of a band for what we've done. I mean, not us, but for the team, what they've done to the song. But we couldn't do anything because we just signed a contract and we had a lot of responsibility in front of the TV company that we obviously worked with.
So this was more decisions of BTRC, the Belarusian network rather than any sort of record label or production. It was mostly
we had a contract directly with them, so there were our people that we talked, and we had, as I already mentioned, we had so much pressure from them. Like, they gathered us every day saying, like, what are you guys doing? You don't have to write anything on your social media, because if you continue on writing, if you continue on complaining about something, we charge you. You have your contract signed, and you have a lot of responsibility and penalties and so on. So that was really hard. Now, a lot of these people, they're not very good people, because now they're working those in propaganda directly. So I'm not what I'm talking about. So, and they were producers. They had nothing to do with being musicians. They had nothing to do with being honest people. I don't want to say bad things about others, but that's what I feel. And I'm totally free to say that.
Yeah, because, I mean, again, we're kind of fast forwarding a little bit, but you are no longer within Belarusian borders at this point. But we'll talk about that at a little bit later. Again, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, looking back and kind of rewinding a little bit to how Light Sound got the ticket to Baku, that even that process, there was a lot of turbulence and a lot of controversy as well.
Absolutely.
From the outside, it seemed, so the overarching story was that originally at Eurofest, the national final in Belarus that year, it was decided that singer Aliona Lanskaya had won the televote and the ticket to Baku with her song All My Life. And then it came out later that there had been discrepancies and malfeasance and rigging with the televote.
At least that's right.
So what did you have any feelings? I mean, did you know that that was the case at Eurofest itself, or did it kind of come to light after the fact and somebody had called you up and say, "Hey, Damon, surprise, you're going to Azerbaijan"? How did that develop from your point of view?
You know, there is a saying, like, you can wake up being a star right away in the morning, like on instant. That would happen to us, because we were, that was a very successful performance, I think, because the whole audience was like, they went crazy. Everyone supported us there, even the fan base of other artists, because in the finals there in Belarus, there were five artists, and there was a very big, like maybe 10,000 people, 5 to 7. I don't remember, but there was a huge place, the venue where everything was going on. And we were expecting ourselves being winners. I don't know why, but because we were very excited about all that. She, like, we were standing behind backstage waiting for the results, and we heard like Light Sound had second place, so obviously it's not the first one. And we were so pissed off, we were freaked out that we weren't. I remember that I throw the glass of water up in the air, okay? And it landed somewhere and hopefully didn't hurt anyone, but that was why.
Yeah, hits Gunesh in the head.
Yeah. Or Lanskaya in her head. That would be fun. So. I'm sorry. I don't want to be very toxic, but sometimes I get she went first on the stage, so we're climbing up the stairs, and she went being the first who appeared to the audience, and everyone's like, oh no, like, she's not the winner. Everyone was so quiet in the audience, and then it was me. I went to the stage, and all the crowd is cheering up and saying, like, this is the winner, it's Light Sound, and so on. And I was so excited, I went to some kind of rush. So I grabbed the stand, and I started to raising up with over my head, and trying to excite everyone, like trying to exaggerate this feeling, and starting some sort of a rally, actually. So the concert turned into a rally. So that was the first rally that I had taken part in. And after that, we just left the stage because we weren't agree with that. So that was a mutiny. Actually, that was a rebellion, right in the center of Minsk. So, yeah. And then I just realized that we were not able to be in Belarus anymore, at least as musicians, because after all, what happened, that was actually a moment of before and after, because we definitely would not be able to perform anymore. So our ways on the stage were closed, and we're getting ourselves prepared to move somewhere else. Never mind, but then this rebellion, it shifted to the internet, and everyone started supporting Light Sound. They started writing. There were thousands of people who were absolutely disagree with what happened. And I don't know why Eurovision was so big in Belarus back in that days, because everyone was so concerned about what happened. They were so concerned to the point that even Belarusian president took place, like took over it and started investigating. So he created a special commission that started investigating this predicament. And in roughly 10 days, so that was a Valentine's Day in 14th December, February of 2012. And in 10 days, they just declared, in a very early in the morning, I remember that we had a little party before that, and I was in my bed, and then all of a sudden my phone just exploded. You can imagine that I had like 5 calls every 5 seconds. It was not possible to pick up the phone, but there were journalists and people that I know, my friends, said, like, have you heard news? This news flash that you guys just won, and everything was that was redecided, and now you're declared as the winners, and you're about to go to your vision. So that was the moment of glory, and I really excited, even now, remembering all that. That was exceptionally awesome. So the truth finally won, but it was not as fleshy as this if we were the winners right on that stage, because that would be just a little bit more nicer than it turned out, because we've got our trophy. The trophy was a bird made of Swarovski glass crystals, like a very beautiful bird. We still have it in our house. So they passed this bird to us, but not on a fancy stage or something. That bird, we received it in a small conference hall in front of a 100 journalists, and that's it. So we had a couple of hundreds of interviews that day, but that was amazing. And that how this journey started. And very soon it turned to a nightmare, because the company and the people who stood behind them, behind Lansky and all other people, they really wanted our life to be a little bit more miserable than instead of this triumph that we went through. So they stopped the financing of the our performance for Eurovision. So we had to find money ourselves, and that was terrible. But we still had some obligations. Like, they literally took our song and they passed it over to a Greek company, like a Greek studio, producers from Greece who worked with Dima Bilan, who worked with numerous Eurovision artists. They are very experienced, but they are people who were responsible for ruining the song. And I remember after a couple of years later, I received a message from that guy who was apologizing for what they'd done with the song. This is like, I'm so sorry about that, because we didn't have enough time. I don't know why, but probably his conscience woke up, consciousness, and he decided to write to me. Yeah, I'm not angry anyway.
Yeah, fun. I mean, it's, you know, looking at the, I'm assuming you might be talking about Dimitris Kontopoulos, who I know produced the new version of.
Yeah.
And he has
a very incredible guy, and he's incredible professional, exceptional. So yeah. I'm not like saying that something was wrong. Yeah. I'm just saying that the song meant to sound a little bit differently.
Yeah, absolutely no shade to Kontopoulos. Again, he's got a very, very strong pedigree at Eurovision. It's just sometimes one person's artistic vision doesn't necessarily line up with another's. And good on him for reaching out to you after the fact to kind of make things right, at least, or at least clear the air. I know that the Baku experience was very bittersweet, but can you tell me some of the sweet moments, some of your favorite moments from 2012?
Yeah, I guess my favorite moment from 2012 was that we met you. I still remember.
Oh, shut.
No flattery. Just because I unfortunately haven't had a lot of friends from the moment, from the period that we met there. I don't even think that I ever communicated with anyone from all these hundreds of journalists that we met there. So you were the only one that we're still, that I consider my friend, my very close friend, and I'm so happy for that. So,
and I promise I was not asking you that question in order to fish for compliments. I promise.
Sure. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, shut up. Shut up.
So, and I must admit that Baku itself, the very beautiful and very special place for me. I've never been there. I don't know if I ever will be there again, but it's something absolutely incredible where everyone who craves to get to the place that doesn't look, doesn't feel, doesn't sound the way like other places. Baku is that a city. So it's the mix between Asian culture and European culture and a lot of very interesting places, nice people. And so, yeah, that was fantastic experience. And when it comes to Eurovision, I think that just being a part of it is a big privilege. Just understanding how all the system works, all these people, all this energy, fan base, all of that is the one of the greatest experience that a musician could ever get.
So let's shift our focus a little bit and talk about life after Baku, after you came home from Eurovision and the dust kind of settled a little bit. You had, you released quite a few singles. You had, I think, two albums coming out. Oh, you had one album that came out in 2018, but you had a whole bunch of other singles. You had a couple of songs that were selected as the theme songs for big events that were held in Belarus, the IIHF tournament, the European Games, the World Ice Hockey Championships. What was, even though Eurovision was over, in a way you were still kind of representing Belarus in a different way. What was that like?
I must admit, of course, that Eurovision was the biggest event that we ever taken part of as the contest. And because of that, we created a strong fan base. We had a lot of people who supported us. We had a lot of people that we still friends with, even though they started as fans. They eventually became our friends, and we still support each other. We still seeing each other in Europe, in Belarus, and that's why I think we were always able to win a lot of votings in Belarus, these anthems and the songs that you mentioned, like the song for ice hockey, some other acts that were very important milestones in our career. It's all because of that, because they were voting, they were sending their SMSs, and we just did our job, and they were just supporting. That's how it works. But Eurovision was the foundation. That was the biggest thing that formed us, that changed us from being kids and turned us into adults, very mature artists that... Yeah, it just developed.
And again, doing this all independently, all self-written, all self-produced, everything just basically flying solo, even just you guys, just you and the band, right?
Yeah. 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 We haven't signed any contract. I mean, we had a couple of offers, but they weren't really serious. So we signed a couple of contracts along the way, but they didn't really work the way that we wanted them. Mm-hmm. So eventually we just had to terminated, and we decided to go our independent route. So we primarily had all the songs written by us, for us, in our own studio. So it's the completely DIY project, self-made band. And this is our creed.
Seems like it would be more satisfying to do it that way as well, and not be beholden to anyone else.
Absolutely, yes, because we know exactly what we wanted, and that was the moment when we feel like it's not our job or it's your life. When you wake up in the middle of the night, you just run up to your studio, you record a song, you record a demo, and then you you live with it, and this is something that has no substitute. And I don't think that having a producer, having someone who that you have obligations to write certain kind of music. No, this is not as cool as being yourself and being able to express yourself as you want it.
I have a slightly silly question. A few years after Baku, there was this other song about how we are the heroes. How do you feel about that one?
Which one is that?
He's talking about the song.
Heroes song by Mons Amalov.
Yeah, the one that won Eurovision about 3 years after you came up.
Yes, we were absolutely astounded. Yeah, we were absolutely amazed. We thought, like, that guy actually stolen our victory. We had to be in this place instead. I'm kidding. It's just a joke. That was a very cool song. And I honestly believe that we had to be in a little bit higher position than that, in case if we, at least if we hadn't changed our arrangement. But we cannot speculate on that. Anyways, we found, like, crazy. The guy had almost same idea as ours, and he did it so well, and he ended up being a winner. So it's crazy.
Again, bigger budgets and full support from a delegation, and
yes,
all of that, yes, things that you might not have. Yeah,
that changes a lot.
Yeah. So you were saying, you know, this groundswell of support and this you know, success after success, a lot of it coming from the unity of your fan base. Around 2020, it seems like the wind sort of shifted in a different direction, and it seems like things were beginning to be stacked up against Light Sound. It seemed that a lot of it kind of triggered from a protest that you may have attended in 2020, a rally, you could say, if you wanted to talk about how, you know, how do you think that thing, or why do you think that things changed for you guys, and what happened?
So everything started with 2019's COVID ordeal, and I think by the moment everything turned to be a little bit more rough for all musicians and for us specifically, because in Belarus that was almost impossible to find a place to perform. So we had a lot of problems with that. But everything turned to a nightmare in summer of 2020, because there was election in Belarus for presidential elections, and we had a very strong democratic candidates that were captured, that were detained, and they put in jail. They were put in jail by the current president of Belarus. So, and a lot of people were very angry about it. They would want to support them, of course, because I really like justice. I really like when it's. I hate when. So you know, I'm really sorry that I'm a little bit kind of that's really hard to remember all that, because there was a terrible time. But there was a lot of crime from the government, from authorities. Recently, something like that happened in Iran. Have you heard about all that?
Yeah, of course.
Yes, and so we went through that in 2020. And of course, a lot of Belarus musicians supported democracy. They really wanted changes in the way that our country was moving politically, and because I'm always like, that was absolutely humiliating in terms of human rights, and because this underlying violence was violent. Was absolutely brutal. So, and I hate violence, I hate brutality. I'm really, really, I'm peaceful, and I think that diplomacy is the key for everything. So, and but the authorities, they opt to commit violence as much as they could. So, and at that time, we just seized our career as musicians. We stopped it because we put it on hold, because it was impossible to continue on. We were still releasing a couple of songs since then, but everything changed drastically at first when Ukraine has been attacked by Russia. And Belarus was obviously an ally with Russia, and we felt absolutely terrible about it. Of course, we were supporting Ukraine as well as we were supporting democracy in Belarus. We've written a lot of posts, a lot of words of support for the nation of Ukraine. And that couldn't go well for us, because once upon a time, I was sleeping in my bed in 2022. That was October 13th of 2022. Early in the morning, I've heard some sounds in the hallway in our house. And I thought that it's our workers who renovated some rooms in our house, came a little bit earlier. But then I noticed that there were quiet a few voices, more than two and more than three. And they were so determined, so rude. And I was immediately scared. And I realized that that's it. That's not normal. And then I saw some flashlights and torches from the wind, from the glass of my door in the hallway. And I knew that I had my daughter sleeping next to me in her crib. She was only 3 or 4 years old. So it was a very, very little child. And I was so frightened that something could have happened to my daughter if I would stay here in my bed. So I rushed towards them with my hands raised, because, and I was naked, and I had my hands raised, and I went to the hallway, and they put me down on the floor. They just put the handcuffs on me, and they were my family. My parents were in our house, and my brother. So, and they committed total mayhem. They ruined everything that they could. They started searching our house. There were like a SWAT team consists of 15 men, fully armed with shields and assault rifles. So they were very, very serious, you know, attacking children and parents with rifles and helmets. And that's nice. Thankfully, they didn't throw grenades on us. So, and we've been captured. They start searching. They brought us to their police department. Then they brought us to some special force department, when they had some special brutal violence against us, if you know what I mean. Mm. They beat hell out of us, and that was terrible. And then they put us in another jail where we spent like next 10 days there with no communication, nothing. And then they brought us to some special jail where they tortured us. We slept on a concrete floor for 10 days. And they couldn't let us sleep, so they wake up in the night for 3 or 4 times, because that was torture. So,
what did they claim was the charge against you?
Yeah, the charge. We're waiting for the charge on the concrete floor. Moreover, it wasn't me and my brother. On top of that, they detained my mom and my dad, who, by the way, was 73 by the time, and he had a stroke in that jail. So they brought him to hospital. Thankfully, he's fine. But the ambulance and all the medical care helped him a lot, because it wasn't time. But we stayed there, and then just when the investigator, detective, asked us to get to the jail, and he asked us to his office, and we went up and we talked to him. He said, like, the charge is that you've been to a rally of 16th goddamn August of 2020. So like 2 years passed. What you're talking about? It's nonsense. And you're charged us with this stupid picture of being on the road. That's it. And that's why hold us here. Yes. So that was terrible nonsense, but that's how life in Belarus looked like, and still is. It is like that even now. So yeah, after that we spent 6 months in prison before the court. So they were investigating this case for 6 months. The photograph on the road. So after that, we were sentenced for community service for 2.5 years. That means community service means that you have a curfew, like you cannot go anywhere after 7 o'clock at night. And the only place that you have to be, you have to stay home, or you can be in your work. And
that's so house arrest.
Yeah. Basically, it's house arrest, and they checked upon us like a couple times a week. Some people said that they've been checked even at night. We've been checked even at night a couple of times as well. So it's a very serious thing. It's hard to get through that, and yeah, and everything over, and we just applied for visa here in Europe, and we traveled here, so now we're safe.
Yeah. So yeah, you are calling us from Vilnius, Lithuania, your right. new home, which is, you know, as the crow flies, as we say in English, not very far from Minsk. Between Minsk and Vilnius, it's, you know, how long of a drive would that be? It's...
Right. Not having the crow flies, I guess the frog.
Yeah, the frog jumps. Yes, but it's geographically nearby, but it's completely new. You don't speak Lithuanian.
No, unfortunately not yet. So it's basically, can imagine this, New York and New Jersey. It's like that.
Yeah, they're close, so yeah.
It's very, very close. So it's like 2 hours a drive from here to Minsk, but it's like North and South Korea. So the two different worlds, even though they're very close, it's absolutely different. Yeah. It's not even close.
And so your brother joined you in Lithuania. Are your parents in Lithuania as well? Are they still in Belarus?
No, my mom here. And unfortunately, my father is still in community service because he had a little bit more serious charge from the police, because they planted some firearms in our house, some ammo, some ammunition. And I think that they really wanted to put it on our shoulders with my brother, but somehow our father saved us, and he said that all of that was his. And that's why he was charged with that. So he had like one more year of that community service, as opposed to what we had.
And your daughter is still in Belarus as well with her mom?
Yeah. Then we got divorced with my ex-wife right after the jail. So, but I'm very thankful. She was very helpful. She supported me so much that I'm an absolutely happy man that I had her there. But unfortunately, I'm not able to see my daughter now because she's there in Belarus. She don't travel yet. So we are on the phone with her very often, and at least that's reassuring that we can have our time together, even though we were very close. She is spending a week with me, a week with her mother, and we did all the nice things together. We played songs, we walked, you know, like probably like everyone does, but that's so terrible. Sometimes I'm just literally sitting down and crying that I can see her now when I need her the most.
So now that you've got your feet planted in Vilnius, you are basically in the process of rebuilding Light Sound and starting afresh and starting anew and making a new chapter. And most famously, you and Vova and Eugene, the new member of your band, have just made a very impressive showing on Lithuania's Got Talent. How did that happen? How did you end up there?
That was absolutely unexpected. So we had a very good friend of us who unfortunately passed away a half year ago. We met him in August, and he was the host of some very nice parties on the top roof, on a rooftop. So we went on that party, and we played there as a band. And there was a producer who said, like, oh my God, you're a very, very cool band. And I know a person who can invite you to Lithuania Got Talent. And that's how we went there, because I can honestly tell you that we didn't want to do that, but that's really how the destiny itself brought us there. And it was really hard for us to find the right song, because Belarus, it considered to be an aggressor against Ukraine. So we feel kind of obligation, we feel guilty for that, being part of that as Belarusian citizens. So we really wanted to find a song that would represent our mind and being a little bit more, not depressed, but in a way of being very aware of what is going on, and that we want convey sort of idea that we really want peace and we really want the world to be united and so on. So we've chosen John Lennon's Imagine. And I know that this song was sang and this song was covered for million hundred times, I guess there's more times than there are stars in the sky. But so that's why we decided to rebuild the song. We started from scratch and we just played it the way that how we would play that if it was our song. And we impressed jury. That was absolutely amazing experience getting on stage. We didn't expect that, but we played it. We performed and jury said, like, at first I thought I gotta like hit cross for you. I wouldn't let you pass because it was such a bold move for you that I would not tolerate because the song is very obvious. It's too simple. But once you start singing that and once you start shifting all these tonalities and doing a lot of different like progressions, chord progressions, like voices and harmony, they ended up giving us a golden buzzer. It's like the biggest prize of all that. So we went to the finals straight away. And that was a big win for us, especially after all these years. So we're very thankful for our Lithuanian juries and Lithuanian people who supported it. That's amazing. We're really happy.
And on the heels of your appearance on Lithuania's Got Talent, looks like Light Sound just released a new single, Cool Guys, that was partially written while you and your brother were in jail. Can you tell me a little bit about the creation of the song and how you put that together during in those circumstances?
It's so cool that you mentioned that because I totally forgotten about how important that song was actually and how important it was for me. So that was Christmas in jail. You know, if you ever had Christmas in jail, that was it.
Like, I have not. I have not.
No. Unfortunately,
but not yet, but it's only February, so you know a lot can happen between now and then.
That can't be anything. So, and you know that the best thing you can get in jail is a little letter from the member of your family, especially from that member who's in jail too. So because you have no communication, and there is how can I call it, like a prison mail system. There's not, they smuggle some letters between cells and that works. It's very interesting sort of experience. They throw little threads made of sweaters. They get the threads of the sweaters unfolding throwing them between cells at night through windows. And they smuggle little letters and parcels between cells. Once upon a time, and though my cell didn't have a direct connection with my brother's cell because we're in a completely different part of the prison, I received a letter that was smuggled in my cell with his letter and with the notes, like the score of the song. And that was absolutely hard touch, devastating moment. So I had it. He wanted this letter to be received on my birthday because my birthday is December 11, but I received it in the end of the year, Christmas. So it was a Christmas miracle. I wrote a song. I was singing that song for all of my inmates around me. So everyone was so happy because just a little moment of creativity there in this darkness and terror is something that feels like a real miracle behind the bars.
And so you took that score and ended up creating, you know, fleshing it out to a full song, which has now been released.
Yeah, absolutely. So I still have this letter. We didn't lose it, so it's like a little relic for the band.
You just frame that and put that, you know, right on the wall.
Yeah, definitely worth it.
So What's next? I know that I see on your social media you've been playing gigs around Lithuania. What's the next chapter for you guys?
I think that all these ordeals and every situation in the world changed me a lot. Like I started being a very, I would say, humble person. I'm not a fame seeker. I'm not a person who would want to do anything to become famous or anything. So I guess that now we really want to record songs that we feel, that express our inner world, like something that we truly feel, like not the songs that we want others to admire, and not something that other people would follow, other people would praise. No, it's not. It's something I think that I would rather meditate. And that's what we do. Like today we had a very good recording session for a new song, which is called Burning Alive. And we tried to touch some deeper emotional sense of our past and of our future, what we would presumably have in the future. I don't know, nobody knows. There are dreams, but a lot deeper emotions. And that's so cool that I can feel how the band grown and how we all changed. This is not like you're trying to pursue your past, trying to be someone that you were, but you're no longer that person. You just try to move on and just enjoy, simply enjoy what you do, and no matter what. And through all these dark times that we're going through all this predicament, I guess that the biggest moments of glory are in our hearts. And that's all the lessons I learned through these years. I'm very grateful. And thanks God that everything turns like that. I'm so happy. And I think that's a big privilege of being of that, that we went through all that, all that prison, all that moments of horror. And this is something that makes you feel a person who understands the difference between good and bad, evil. And that's the experience that has no substitute.
So right now, Minnesota has become kind of the epicenter of some things that you've talked about from your experiences, people being taken off the streets, people being arrested just for demonstrating a views that are antithetical to the current government, that sort of thing. What advice do you have for people who want their voices to be heard? And maybe just feeling discouraged by the political climate and the behavior of local and federal government and things like that.
First of all, I really think that it's a very hard topic. I don't feel that I'm eligible to express my thoughts on that because I'm not a citizen of America. But I must say that what I saw was absolutely terrible. I mean, that there were a couple of moments that made me think that because we went through all that and people get killed on the street, it's not okay. It's a terrible humiliation of human rights. I'm against that with all my might, with all my spirit. I cannot tolerate that. And I want to be fair and honest that I think that what's going on in the streets, it must be solved. It can be solved diplomatically and peacefully, not with gunfire or capturing people and taking them over from the streets and so on. I believe that it can be solved differently, and it must be.
Now that you are getting settled in Lithuania, have you found a community of other Belarusians or other musicians that have also taken similar steps as you? Or are you part of a network there? Because I know that, for example, you were mentioning the opposition politician, Svetlana Tikhanovskaya. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. I know that she's based in Lithuania now as well. Have you been able to tap into a community of Belarusian expats in Vilnius and around to kind of keep your work going and to keep your momentum growing?
Yeah, that's true. There are a lot of Belarusians here, especially in the field of creative world and in IT sector. There are a lot of people who immigrated from Belarus from since 2020. Honestly, I don't want to be involved in politics in any way here. So I never met anyone from Svantinovska team. So I don't want to be a part of it. But there are a lot of nice people that we, of course, that we have some collaboration and communication. Most of the people from Belarus immigrated to Warsaw in Poland. Mm-hmm. So, but Vilnius, Lithuania is an amazing place because here we met hundreds of people from different nations, not only Belarusians, here are some Americans, here are some people from India, from Poland, from Germany, a lot of different nations. So it's a beautiful place for opportunities and expanding spiritual mind and vision. It's very cool. I like this place.
How are you finding that your new community influences your art and your music?
So it definitely helps because when it's homogeneous, when you live in a country where people are mostly from the same nation, that deters you from doing bolder moves because it's just like some frontier that is being created around your creativity. And when there are a lot of nations, you just feel that you're not afraid of moving, of doing something that you haven't done before. This is a big shift in the creative mind. And yeah, that's what I like.
If life gave you the opportunity, and if, say, next year somebody said, Damon, we want Light Sound to submit a song to the Lithuanian National Final for Eurovision 2027 or 28, would you do it again?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Even though I don't feel like I have courage for that, I really want to take the chance because especially if we feel like we are supported by many people. But yeah, I definitely feel that I can do that, even though I'm a little bit afraid of it. So I want to step over this fear and move ahead and try it again. Yes. As I've heard a lot of times that Eurovision is like a drug. Once you tried it, you never stop.
I can confirm that, yes.
Yeah. We call that the Kano effect.
Yeah. Are there any questions that you want us to ask that we haven't yet? Is there anything else that you would like to say that you haven't had the chance to yet? Because we want to make sure that you have the platform to.
We talked about almost everything. I know that, of course, there was a very long path for Light Sound specifically, and for me in general. But I'm so helpful. I'm so thankful that I have a lot of people that support me. That I have friends like Sammy. That I think that makes our life so much fuller, so much bigger. That's what we're here for in this world, to enjoy, to be creative, to move forward, to not to be afraid. And yeah, thank you so much for that.
Of course. If listeners want to continue following you and your band on their journey, what's the best way for them to follow you on social media or to get in touch? What's the best way to connect with Light Sound?
Yeah, we have our pages, official page of Light Sound on Instagram, on YouTube. So feel free to hit like and subscribe and to join us, to write me, to drop me a personal message on Instagram. I would highly appreciate any support and good words, anything. I value our fans, I value our people, and would highly, highly appreciate that you stay with us.
And we are so grateful that you joined us. We've been chatting for over an hour now, and I feel like we've just scratched the surface, but thank you. This has been a long time coming that we've been been meeting to chat, and we're so happy that you were here, Dima. I still call you Dima because we've known each other for so long. Damon, sorry. The official.
I have two names. That's good. He's Semi. That's fine.
You're one of the very few people who I allow to call me Sammy. You know that, right?
Yeah, we don't get to do that.
No.
No, I'll get punched.
I will punch him. Mm-hmm. You're cool. Good. You're good.
She'll do it. She'll do it.
I will. All right, Damon. Thank you. As they say in Lithuania, achu. This thank you in Lithuanian.
Wow. How do you know that? How do you know that?
When you go to Eurovision,
she does.
Yeah.
How do you forget?
Multi-language.
Well, I mean, Lithuanian. You say thank you, and it sounds like you're sneezing. It's easy to remember.
Yes.
So, anyway,
it's been such a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Especially from Minsk to Minnesota, it means a lot right now. So thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm really hoping the situation will turn to a bright side of things for you guys.
Here's hoping.
Cheers to that. Cheers to that.
Yeah.
All right, everybody at home, let us know what you think. Again, reach out to Damon, reach out to Light Sound. If you want to reach out to us, you can find us on all the standard social media outlets at 12 Points USA. Just email us directly, 12pointsofamerica@gmail.com. Find us on Redbubble if you want our merchandise. You can find us on Patreon as well, whether you support us financially or not. We love and appreciate you. Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. All right, everybody, until the next episode. I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Liz.
I've been Damon.
And America.
Stop listening now.